This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:17 in the morning, Tuesday, the 2nd of March. And you're listening to, of course, The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Lawrence Todd of the think tank Ideas about the role EPF plays in the future as social protection systems become even more important. But in the meantime, let's talk about Malaysian politics, because over the weekend, PKR MPs Julau's Larry Seng and Terbrau Stephen Chong announced that they have decided to leave the party.
Yep, in support of the Perikatan National Government of the Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as independents. Seng said his decision to quit PKR was made after he consulted his voters and described the move to leave as a collective decision.
Yes, so for more on the political situation in Sarawak and also Peninsula, we have Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. Now, good morning, James. Now, former PKR Sarawak Chief Larry Seng has resigned, like we said, from the party and announced his support for the Prime Minister, citing the need for federal government assistance to solve the issues in his constituency. Now, what do you make of this move?
Good morning. So the first thing is a minor correction. He actually resigned from PKR a couple of months back, but he was asked to stay back until they elect a new leader. So his leaving PKR is really not news in Sarawak. Many people knew about it. And in fact, if you look at some of the blogs written in Sarawak, people were already accusing him of jumping over to the government. I think the timing was interesting. He did it just after the news that the Agong has told Parliament, the two speakers, that they're allowed to reconvene Parliament. Now, in terms of the excuse he gave, which is that he needs the federal government to resolve issues in his constituency, which is a very rural area, that is actually the standard excuse given by most people who defect. They usually mention the need for constituency development as a prime reason why they had to move over to the government side. So again, that's nothing new.
So if that's the standard excuse, what's the real reason?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons that you can easily point to. One is that ever since he took over as leader of PKR after Baru Bian defected, I think there was issues of him being leader. As you know, PKR Sarawak, the majority of its members and the majority of seats they were contesting were non-Muslim Bumiputera or Dayak seats. So there was quite a significant portion of PKR Sarawak who were unhappy that an ethnic Chinese has taken over the leadership. So he was having problems trying to prepare the party for the upcoming Sarawak state elections. I think secondly, there was also a lot of suspicions over him personally. As many of your listeners know, he comes from an interesting political family. He was seen as somebody very close to the previous Sarawak Chief Minister, Tan Mahmud, who is somebody who's really disliked in the Dayak community. And he was also seen as somebody who plays money politics. And also his father is a very well-known political operator. So you got questions about his loyalty and also the fact that he was leading essentially a Dayak party. I mean, he himself admitted to it when he resigned a couple of months ago that he would have preferred a Dayak to take over. So one can guess that maybe he felt that he needed to jump quickly. Otherwise, if PKR were to do badly, he'll get the blame for it. So it's better to jump ahead rather than get caught with the bad results PKR in the Sarawak state election.
So James, what is the state of PKR as a party in Sarawak? Does it have ground support?
PKR does have some support. If we look at the voting patterns from the 2018 elections, they do have some support. The problem is that they don't have leadership. Essentially, they need quite a strong leader now in order to pull the party together to prepare for the Sarawak election, which will be held in just a couple of months' time. So if they cannot find a leader now, I'm afraid that the party will really be in big trouble. In terms of party machinery, their party machinery has basically collapsed on the Kuching side. Most of those people on the Kuching side has actually defected to together with Baru Bian to PSB. They have limited party machinery in the Miri and Baram area. My understanding is that they really need resources for them to restart the machinery up there. But they do have quite a number of young, highly educated, committed party members. But it's a question, like I said, it's a question of leadership and organizational skills. And if they can't find the right people, say over the next week or so, I suspect they will have a very, very hard time getting ready for the Sarawak state elections.
So if the Sarawak state election was called in the next 3 months, right, where would the numbers sit between Bersatu, between DAP and PKR and all the other parties?
I think if the elections will be held soon, say over the next quarter, I think it's quite obvious that GPS will win handsomely. I think the Chinese vote in urban areas will still stick with DAP. DAP's election machinery is still intact, but I think PKR will do very badly. In fact, there was also a chance that PKR will end up with zero seats. So, like I said, PKR is the weak link because in Sarawak, when you talk about the opposition, it's basically for the PH side, it's basically DAP and PKR. But there was an interesting new party on the scene in Sarawak called PSB. They seem to be making all the right moves in the dire areas. So talk in town in Sarawak is that they'll probably pick up a fair number of seats. And if PKR does very badly, chances are PKR voters will probably move over to PSB.
And James, it seems like Parliament is due to resume soon. Now, are you expecting in the meantime then more defections and changing of alliances?
Yes, defections is a fact of life in Malaysian politics. But I think there's an urgency to resolve this issue. I think it's quite clear that Bersatu is on the headhunting game. They want to grab as many people as possible, not only to strengthen Muhyiddin's position in Parliament ahead ahead of a no-confidence vote if it goes ahead. But I think more importantly, his real battle is really not Parliament. His real battle is really to make sure that UMNO does not leave government. Because if UMNO were to pull out, it is very clear that his government will not survive even with defections. So the key to his survival is really working out a deal with UMNO rather than bringing a lot of defections.
Well, talking about amphibious movements more, in Peninsula, we've also seen several MPs jumping from PKR to Amana, right? Both in similar coalitions. What does this mean for the coalition relationship moving forward?
I think PKR taking people for Amana is a really, really bad move. Amana is already a very a weak party. As you know, Amana is made up mostly of people from PAS. And Amana is supposed to be the so-called Islamic wing of Pakatan Harapan. And I think it's a mistake for them to weaken it even further because this means that you're actually indirectly helping PAS. So I think it's also a bad move in the sense that you're sort of destroying the trust within your coalition partners. It's already very difficult to hold a coalition together, especially in the opposition side. And I think if you do things like allowing members to jump within the same coalition, I think that's a really, really bad move. And it always leaves a very bad, bitter taste. And this sort of bad feeling among coalition partners will last for many, many years.
So, James, what does it tell you about the relationship of the Pakatan Harapan coalition partners then? And maybe even the leadership?
Well, if you look at it in a very logical way, Pakatan Harapan, when became successful was basically a mirror of the Barisan Nasional. The only difference was that they had Mahathir there, the former leader UMNO and Malaysia's longest serving prime minister, who was able to penetrate the rural Malay votes. But in terms of the setup, it's very similar. You had basically a Chinese party, even though officially it's multiracial DAP. Then you had sort of a Malay party, Bersatu, hardcore Malay party with the same ideologies UMNO. Then you got sort of a multi-racial party, which is a PKR. In an ideal situation, of course, the two strongest party, PKR and DAP, should come together because essentially in terms of their ideology, there's not much of a difference. The problem is the Malaysian voters, they're not ready to see PKR and DAP come together. I suspect if DAP and PKR will come together and they can hold it together, say, for the next two general elections, they will become a very potent political force.
And one last question, James, and a quick one. You mentioned a deal that the PM has to make with UMNO. Do you know what kind of deal will eventually be done?
I think everything is up in the air. We know that UMNO is really unhappy. We know that Najib and Zahid are still very influential. They control one of the largest factions in UMNO. And we know that they're desperate to get back in the government. And they really can't get back in the government if they go outstanding court cases. So we know that their primary interest is to settle all these legal issues. We also know that UMNO sees the survival UMNO in the long term means that they have to get rid of Bersatu, because it's quite obvious that Bersatu and UMNO have the same ideology. And in any type of coalition politics, if you want it to be stable, you can only allow one tiger on the mountain. You can't have two similar tigers. So we know that UMNO's, if they want to stay for the long term, they need to get back power in the coalition. So I think the deal is not going to be an easy deal. But if they don't come to a deal, if it is a free-for-all between UMNO and Bersatu, I suspect if the election is called fairly soon, Bersatu will be the one paying the price. I think UMNO and PAS, the machinery is still basically intact in the rural areas, and I think they'll perform much better than Bersatu.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, reminding us very wisely that there can only be one tiger on the mountain. So watch this space as to who this tiger will be. But up next, we'll be diving into Hang Seng's index, biggest overhaul in 51 years and what it means for markets. That's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.